God used the wilderness in the lives of biblical people over and over. Major figures in the Bible. He used the wilderness to do a number of things. To teach them and to challenge them are two of the things he did. And those were the first two things we talked about in this Lenten series sermon that we have called Into the Wilderness. Today, the focus is God's using the wilderness to remind us that we are totally dependent upon him. But we tend to use the wilderness for a different purpose, and that is to grumble. We're very gifted at grumbling. Exodus 16, verses 2 through 3. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. In the desert, in the wilderness, all the people grumbled. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died at the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Oy vey." You and I are gifted at grumbling. And we wonder sometimes why we are so miserable. Somebody had a little creative way of saying this. It said, "A negative mind will never give you a positive life." Grasp that, Harry. Grasp that. A negative mind will never give you a positive life. When you and I are cast in the wilderness, we tend to complain, just like God's people complained. They were hungry. They wanted some food. So the Lord said to Moses in Exodus 16, verse 4, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you." And brothers and sisters, that was even in the wilderness that God said, "I will provide for your need." But he said, "I will only do it one day at a time." And in doing that, he reminded them of this: you are totally dependent upon me. Don't forget that. One of God's wonderful qualities, brothers and sisters, is that he provides what you need when you are in the desert places of your life. He does. Sometimes that's material needs. Houses, food, cars, money. But there are other resources in your life that tend to run dry. Your strength may diminish. Can anyone identify? Your emotions may get on edge. Has that ever happened to you? You may get out of control in some way or another. I like to be in control. I don't want to be out of control. Can you identify? And brothers and sisters, your spirit can be parched. Your spirit can be so thirsty in that dry land you just don't know what to do. God knows all of that better than you do. He knows what you need, and he will provide for you when you are in the wilderness with him. Some of that is a repeat of things I've already said in the first two sermons in this series, but that was ages ago. He can provide much more than food and housing and cars and money. And he makes you lie down in green pastures. He leads you beside quiet waters. He restores your soul. And you know what? That's what you need more than anything else. You need to have restoration of your soul. And God knows that. You may think that your biggest need is material. You may think that your biggest need is for physical healing. You may think that your biggest need is for a relationship to be resolved or a decision to be made for you or whatever. But your greatest need is the restoration of your soul. And for that, you need God. He is the only one that can do that. You depend upon God. Someone offered this little poem. "The clock of life is wound but once, And no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop, at late or early hour. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To lose one's health is more. To lose one's soul is such a loss that no man can restore. If you think about it, everything in Psalm 23, probably the world's favorite psalm, everything in that psalm reflects upon our dependence on God. The literal translation, actually, of "He restores your soul" is "He causes my life to return." How does He do that? Well, He makes you to lie down in green pastures. And notice, He doesn't invite you to lie down in green pastures. He makes you lie down in green pastures. Those who really know God and those who really walk with God know that sometimes He makes you retreat. He makes you lie down in the green pastures. But we are too stupid sometimes to do it on our own. We're not smart. We're like sheep. We're not willing to do that. But He is our shepherd, and He knows exactly what we need. And He knows exactly when you need to be restored. And then He leads you beside still waters. Did you know that sheep are so stupid that they're afraid to be by moving water? If the water is moving, they run away from it. They have to be by quiet water. If you stay connected to God in the wilderness, He will smooth out that path. I'm looking around right now because I know the paths of some of you, and I know how stony and rocky some of them are right now. Stay with God in your wilderness. He will smooth out that path. He's your shepherd. He provides, He leads, He guides, He comforts. But you and I are so stupid. We choose independence rather than dependence upon God. Watch out. God will lead you into a wilderness place in your life in order to teach you dependence. Jesus said this in John 15, "I am the vine." Jesus said this in John 15, "I am the vine." I love to hear those words. I mean, they're comforting words to me. I am the vine. I don't like hearing those words sometimes when He says, "I'm in control. I'm the vine." Wake up and recognize it. You are the branches. Have you ever heard of the great vine? The great vine is located near Hampton Court in London. And it's considered a world-class tourist attraction. Has anyone here ever seen the great vine in Hampton Court? I have not. It's in the Guinness Book of World Records as the largest grapevine in the world. And you can see a video of it on YouTube today. Just go look up the great vine. It's nearly 250 years old. And this grapevine has grown so large that they have had to replace several greenhouses just to house part of this great vine, just portions of it. It has a single root. And that single root is not a foot wide. It's 2 feet wide. And the branches go as long as 200 feet out from that vine. It produces 600 pounds of grapes every August. And the smallest branches of that vine that are 200 feet away still produce grapes today. After 250 years, because they are connected to the vine. They're connected to the source. I can almost hear those grapes talking, and they say, "I can do anything through Him who strengthens me." Can't you hear that? "I can do anything through Him who strengthens me." They know dependence They understand dependence. There was a little boy and his dad, and they were walking along a path, and they came across this rather large rock in the path, and the son looked at his dad and he said, "Dad, do you think I can move this rock if I use all my strength?" And the dad said, "Son, yes, if you use all your strength, I believe you can move that rock." And so the little boy got down and he put his shoulder against that rock and he pushed and he grunted. He contorted his face and he couldn't make that rock budge. And he said, "Dad, you were wrong. I can't do it." And his father put his arm around him and he said, "Son, I said you could do it if you use all your strength. You did not use all your strength because you did not ask me to help you." When you are in the wilderness and you can't move that hurdle, whatever it may be, ask God to help you. In fact, he wants you to ask him to help you. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, just think about it. Think about it. He wants you to ask him, "Help me." Wow. He wants to renew your strength like the eagles. "I'm willing, Lord. I'm willing and waiting. I'm ready. Renew my strength like the eagles." But we're like that little boy. We get discouraged when we can't move it on our own. We want to give up. We want to be independent. We don't want to ask him for help. I can almost hear a tone in God's voice when I read this scripture. This is what God said in Isaiah, at the beginning of Isaiah. He said, "I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his master. The donkey knows his owner, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand." That's not a new thing for God. I mean, even though he is the perfect heavenly father, his first two children rebelled against him, and every other child has rebelled against him. For those of you who have ever raised children, have you ever experienced rebellion? Patty, I heard that laugh with your grandchildren right beside you. I heard that laugh. For any of you who have ever been children, have you ever rebelled? Rebellion is just built into us. That's what we choose. That's what we will choose. Rebellion is not always in the past, you know. From birth, you have sought to be independent from your parents. My grown daughter and her family visited us yesterday. And my grandchildren told me a story about my daughter that I did not know. She once climbed out of a window of our home and met a boy and went on a secret date. And my daughter was the one who never rebelled, who always was compliant. My son, on the other hand, but my daughter. And I learned this story. I laughed. I mean, you know, at this point in life, you laugh. Have you ever rebelled? Of course you have. Have you ever broken the rules? Of course you have. As I was thinking about how to develop these thoughts on dependence versus independence, I was very tempted to look at the United States of America, on our fight for our political independence in the 18th century, and then how over the years we grew into a declaration of independence from God himself, removing prayer from the public school, promoting abortion in our lives, and all the other things that you know that we struggle with. Churches today are withering. Integrity and purity today are afterthoughts. Purity and honesty today are out of style. everything is upside down. But I realized that to focus on our country would be an easy way out because I would be pointing fingers at other people rather than pointing them back at myself. What is it that makes me want to be independent from God? And one big word popped into my mind, and that word is pride. I can sometimes be like the little engine that could. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. I can. Sometimes I can be like the cheerleader in Rockingham High School who would stand before the crowd and chant, "You can do it. You can do it. You can. You can do it. You can do it. You can." Independence from God. I can too easily think of myself that way, that I can do all things through my abilities. Not through Christ, but through my abilities. And that reminded me of God's warning to the Hebrews. When they came out of the wilderness and they came into the promised land, he said something profound to us and to them in Deuteronomy 8, verse 14. He said, "Be careful." He said, "When your bellies are full and when there is peace in your land, you will forget me." And that's exactly what happened. When you're comfortable, are you comfortable? When you are comfortable in your life, you will forget God and your dependence upon him. When we become too proud, God needs to make us lie down in the wilderness so that he can remind us again and again of our dependence upon him. Solely upon him. Now, after I struggled with my sin of pride, God then presented me with another embarrassing thought. "Harry, you take me for granted." I did not like hearing that. You and I take a lot of things for granted. We expect the airline pilot to get the plane to the destination we paid for. We take it for granted. We expect the lights to come on when we flip the switch. We take it for granted. We expect the post office to bring the mail to us. We take it for granted. We expect the water to be clean when it comes out of our faucets. We take that for granted. We trust that when we get a bank statement, it's going to be correct. We take it for granted. It's also our style in life to take God for granted. How it must wound him. "I surrender all." Ladies, by the way, that was lovely. I really worship through that. Thank you. Listen to Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream." I want to be like that. Don't you? Don't you want to be like that? I want to sink the roots of my life deeply into God's divine resources. I want to allow God to be the vine. I want to succeed and not fail. Amen? To do that, I must depend upon God. That leads to another huge word, and that word is humility. If we're going to depend upon God, we have to humble ourselves before God. In order to do that, humble ourselves before God, he often has to send us to the wilderness. It's like a vicious circle, isn't it? But you know what? It's really a victorious circle when you think about it. Because when we bury our pride and when we give up our stupid quest to be independent, then we can enjoy what God has for us in Jesus Christ. Let me state that a different way. When you bury your pride When you, brothers and sisters, give up your stupid drive for independence, you can then experience all the wonders of God in Jesus Christ that He has for you. You can then enjoy the hope that you have in Jesus Christ, the promises that you have in Jesus Christ. You can enjoy the life that you have here the way He meant for it to be, as you prepare for the life that He has for you, which will eventually be perfect. Don't you want that for yourself? I want that. I need that. Don't you? Don't you hunger and thirst? And for your loved ones as well. Then, brothers and sisters, utterly depend upon the One who is utterly dependable. Charles Wesley wrote a wonderful hymn entitled, "A Charge to Keep I Have." And the final verse says this, "Help me to watch and pray and still on Thee rely. Help me to watch and pray and on Thee, Lord, to rely." Brothers and sisters, earnestly pray that prayer for yourself, whether you're in the wilderness now or in the future. Pray that prayer for yourself, that God may help you, that He may help me, that He may help your loved ones through whatever wilderness you have. In fact, let's stand right now and sing these words that He wrote for us with the conviction of one who knows the power of God. "A charge to keep I have." Let's stand together.